The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This podcast is sponsored by Stella Artois. Enjoying a night out during Houston restaurant weeks? Elevate your dining experience with Stella Artois. Pair your favorite dishes with the smooth, refreshing taste of Stella and make every meal a moment to savor. Cheers to great food, great company, and the perfect beer. Discover Stella Artois at participating restaurants during Houston restaurant weeks. Stella Artois, a taste worth more. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll have a conversation with three people in the food world I think you'll want to hear from. Gentlemen, let me introduce you separately so that people can hear your voices. Coming to us from Maven Coffee, let's start with Lance McCullers Jr. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, guys, really looking forward to today.
Chef Nico Bison, welcome to the show.
Great seeing you guys and super excited about the show.
And finally, Juan Carlos de Aldecoa. Welcome to What's Eric Eating?
Eric, thank you for having us. Excited to be part of this.
Yeah, thank you guys for doing this. Lance, let me start with you. I mean, obviously, you're the notable name here, Astros pitcher for the members of the audience who aren't big sports fans. But, you know, obviously, you've been very successful in your professional career. So tell me, what sparked your interest in getting into restaurants and coffee shops?
Well, for me, it actually, the story starts with Juan Carlos. So Juan Carlos and I have been on a trip a couple years back now. And throughout my baseball career, you know, our baseball schedules are obviously filled in the evenings for the most times. We always are at the field or traveling in the evenings to other cities. So my ability to explore the cities we were traveling to always was in the morning time. And growing up with, you know, my mom's side, is Latin heritage, growing up with coffee and Cuban coffee and kind of having great memories around, you know, those family times is kind of how I grew up. So I just explore all the cities that we were in, whether it was on the West Coast or East Coast or Midwest, it didn't really matter. I spent my days finding coffee shops, finding, you know, just those great starts to your mornings, I guess, great starts to your days. And over time, I, you know, eventually really kind of got a list and I would pass a list around to teammates and other people in the league. So that was kind of my thing. And I really enjoyed doing that. And so it really sparked a interest to, I guess, have my own version of that, that feeling you get from good coffee, from good atmosphere, from great employees. And I always kind of wanted that for myself. I thought it would be maybe post-baseball. But like I said, this story really starts when I met Juan Carlos on the automotive trip. We just hit it off right away. Just really kind of one of those instant connections. And, you know, grew really close and really wanted to make it a reality. When I told Juan about it, I didn't know anything about his family at the time and how prominent they are in the coffee space. And then once he told that to me, after I kind of said my dream would be owning a coffee shop one day, it really kind of took off from there. And, you know, a couple of years later and a lot of great opportunities and some spots coming, here we are.
Well, Juan Carlos, that seems like a good way to get you involved. Talk about that background that Lance sort of alluded to in your family's history in the coffee business.
For sure, Eric. Our family's been in the coffee industry for close to 100 years now. Started with my great-grandfather in Spain, then moved to Mexico. And from there, the operations moved to Houston. And today, I would be the fourth generation in that family. And my mother, her siblings, and my uncle Carlos run the and my both grandparents are still involved today in the family business.
So then, I mean, you know, obviously, Lance, there are so many coffee shops in Houston. What was it about what you kind of seen as you traveled across the country? What what were the elements that you really wanted to bring to Maven?
I mean, for me, one of the most notable things was just having a, and I mean this in a very respectful way. I think that people have different goals when they open spots. I mean, for me, it was about really delivering the highest quality of coffee without getting over my skis. You know, by no means am I a master taster. By no means am I going to be able to pick out, you know, what flower helped grow this bean or notes are in this bean. But for me, it was really about just giving the consumer, you know, whether it was someone that really knew a lot about coffee or was newer to coffee, the ability to truly have a great cup of the highest quality. And so obviously with Juan's and Nico's family, I should add, which Nico can touch on that and Juan can as well. That's one of the things that we really are able to accomplish. And then obviously a space where people feel, you know, they can, you know, kind of enjoy. And what I mean by that is, you know, we obviously have our Thompson location and we really tried to give it that feel of what people would be expecting in type of a nice hotel, but try to step it up a notch. And people are able to, you know, meet there and congregate there. They're staying at the hotel. It's not something that you want to like step into and get out of as fast as possible. It's not something that, you know, you want to just, you know, order the coffee to go somewhere that, you know, if you're in a hotel, we know, you know, you're busy, but somewhere that people can, you know, truly enjoy and kind of make that space a part of the routine, whether they're there for a couple of days or a week or whatever it is. And then our other spaces, we're really going for kind of that neighborhood feel, kind of that neighborhood like spot that people just, it's kind of hard to put your finger on, but you go to spots and you don't really know why you love going there. It just feels like a spot that you love to go. You love to take friends, you love to, you know, share moments there. And so that's kind of the energy that we're trying to capture at our spot that we're bringing in Silver Street.
Nico, Lance mentioned your background in the food world. I know it's pretty extensive. We've talked offline before, but just kind of give people a sense of kind of your history in the food business and kind of how you got involved with Maven.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a funny story. I said it one time and I always find it funny. I left Houston at a very young age. I tried to pursue a professional career in sports. It didn't end at what I wanted to, but it drove me to a hospitable background of being in the service industry. And it started while I was playing. I was trying to make ends meet overseas in Europe, in Spain specifically. And I started working in restaurants there. And from there, I ended up in New York working for Jose Andres and opened Mercado Little Spain on his team and grew and just really every day tried to conquer as much as I could. Worked with stints at, you know, when Ruben, who was the culinary director at the time, would ask me, hey, come down to mini bar. I was there, whatever they really needed. And I always focused on open fire kitchens. That took me to Chicago. In Chicago, I worked for Bono. We won the first star at Porto there. And then from there, went back to Jose, worked with the names of Doug Saltis, helped him with the opening of Asador Bastion, which just got ranked 14th best steakhouse in the world by 101. So I've thoroughbred through the hospitality industry. And I was actually opening Asador. And I remember my cousin called me. He's like, hey, you know, we have these two leases signed. We have this idea. We have renderings. We've already purchased the furniture. But we don't know where to buy kitchen forks. And that was literally what he said. And
not to cut you off, but just, you know, you're working for some of the best chefs in the world. You know, working for Jose Andres at Mini Bar, two Michelin stars. He's like, hey, you want to come home and open a coffee shop with me?
Yeah. And it was very interesting, right? You know, I've always had a good relationship with my cousin. You know, he's someone who's, you know, we've always bounced ideas off each other. And, you know, we maybe never had the conversation every day or every week. But I was someone who, and I think we both speak the same way, it was someone who, if we ever called or if I ever called him, he would always answer the phone, right? And he called me and he's like, hey, I need some help. And it started kind of consulting, flying back and forth between Chicago and there, finishing up projects in Chicago. And I ended up, you know, jumping ship completely and going through. And like, you tasted my food that day. It's for a coffee bar, it's probably a little elevated, but I really strive for, you know, being like Glenn said, giving people just more than a coffee shop. It's no longer just a place to get coffee, right? It really is a place where we want people to come in and enjoy a good dinner and create memories and create experiences that you're not able to get otherwise, right? And there's one of my favorite spots in Chicago is Kasama. And it started off as a pastry shop and a coffee shop with amazing breakfast, and now has a Michelin star and the first Filipino restaurant ever to have a Michelin star. Not that that's what we're going for, but you know, we really wanted to create a different experience.
I mean, Juan Carlos, maybe just expand on that just a little bit. I mean, you know, like Lance said, the coffee shop at Thompson, it's more than just like a grab and go spot, even for a hotel guest. You know, it really is like a full service restaurant. You can kind of linger there, whatever. But maybe just elaborate on that, kind of how you got connected to the Thompson and how that vision sort of evolved into what it is.
For sure. It was the way the Thompson came up is we were working on our Silver Street location, and the developer for the Thompson Hotel I reached out to, and he's a great family friend of ours. And we kind of just went with it. And that was they were just going to do a plain Jane coffee shop like most hotels have. And he wanted to elevate it a little bit more. So we went in there with them, worked side by side, and elevated the concept to be more than just a grab and go coffee bar and really become a coffee and cocktail shop, you know, coffee in the morning, pastries, fresh, very high quality and great product to match the Thompson name. And then an elevated cocktail scene that's still affordable and priced reasonably to be able to welcome both hotel guests and people at the nearby park or people in the neighborhood. Like Lance said, that one was a little bit out of our concept per se, in the sense that we were inside a hotel and it wasn't a standalone. We had limited design capabilities there, but we thought we'd put our best foot forward with our first spot, and it kind of set the tone for our new spot, which will be Silver Street, where it'll be more of a restaurant. We will be focusing on food and running it as a full-blown restaurant, like Lance said, a neighborhood spot that has high quality offerings, both in coffee and food and in cocktails.
I want to piggyback off Juan, because I love what he said. Basically, we kind of started almost backwards. And I guess I say that in a good way, right? Like, we started in the wholesale business, last summer. And then we opened Maven at Minute Maid, which is a big leap for people who don't really have established brick and mortars and or a true operations team. But we said, you know what? We truly loved the possibility of that opportunity. So we went for it. And then we went from the cart at Minute Maid, which is a full-blown little cocktail bar, to the one in the Rockets. And then from the Rockets, we went to the hotel. And now from the hotel, we're going to our first true brick and mortar. So it's almost backwards, where most people would kind of start at their brick and mortar and they would kind of start expanding from there. But for us, we felt like, you know, we had the opportunity to go for it. So we did. And every single kind of spot that we open along the way is kind of like a new layer to kind of what we want people to experience, what we want to showcase. You know, obviously it started as just wholesale. People were getting our product and they didn't know it. Then it kind of went to the carts. People were able to, experience some of the ideas that we had for our long-term locations. Then it went to Silver Street. The Thompson. And when we were at the Thompson, it was kind of like an internal struggle. It was like, should we kind of come out of the gates kicking here, or should we just really do coffee? And we kind of decided, you know what, let's show people what we're about. Let's give people, even though maybe this exact spot doesn't call for it, let's give people kind of an experience and a showcase of what we're able to do in a limited space. And then we're really looking forward to Silver Street being more of like an expanded Maven, very welcoming, approachable food. Like I said, a place where people don't really know why, but they feel like that's just like their spot and that they really want to, you know, go to often and kind of share moments and memories is what we're going for at Silver Street.
Yeah. I mean, just take a half a step back and sort of explain, like, of all the places in Houston you could have opened, how did you decide on Silver Street?
Well, Juan and I went through many of buildings, I will say. We looked at tons of options, but, you know, things always pop up, whether it's, you know, changing it, things that I didn't know about, changing it from a retail space to a restaurant space, parking in the city of Houston, water retention, all of these different things that no one would really understand goes into opening a spot. And I actually called Steve Gibson, who's a part owner of the Astros. I knew he was very big in, you know, the leasing land in Houston. I kind of explained to him my concept, and he just said, "Hey, listen, you may really enjoy the spot that I have. It's over at Silver Street. It's kind of a really budding up and coming area. It's got really great character, and it's really great location to kind of all neighborhoods. You know, you can get there from Montrose, from the Heights, from downtown, from River Oaks, if you're commuting from Memorial." So we went to look at it, and we definitely, when we looked at it, we were like, you know, there's a long way to go here, but, you know, we felt there was a lot of energy there. And we did feel that we could make it what we wanted to represent our first brick and mortar. So that's kind of how it happened. I called kind of an acquaintance per se for help and for advice. And he actually had somewhere that he owned that he thought was a good fit. And that's how we landed. That's how we landed there.
Well, good. And my sense is that that opening is coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's coming up here pretty soon. We still have, you know, quite a bit of news to announce on it. And but we're getting pretty close. We're nearing the corner a lot sooner than some people may think.
Well, and Nico, just from your perspective, I mean, talk about kind of your plans for the menu. Cause I mean, you know, we were, you know, we sat down for a tasting and you were throwing up, you know, beef cheeks and, you know, all these other things that, you know, don't really make sense in like a cafe context. But what makes sense at dinner for a neighborhood restaurant and kind of draw on, you know, your training cooking Spanish food. So, I mean, talk about this more expansive vision for the food menu at the brick and mortar.
Absolutely. So one of the two things, you know, with the brick and mortar of Silver Street of where it is, right? It's in a neighborhood. We want it to be extremely friendly to the people in the area. So it's very much taking on this tavern-esque vibe of a food, right? And making it to where you can go there one day and have a steak frite or have chicken with potatoes, or you can go in and have some raw options, right? It's really taking an approachable way for people to be able to eat, and in a sense where people will want to eat there more than once a week, right? It's not, we don't want it to become a one-off spot where people really make it a destination, right? We're really striving to make it very much, very tapa style and shareable food, but very much for the daily consumer, right? All encompassing, you know, have a nice wine list. You know, the cocktails are going to be amazing. I've already tried them. It's honestly, and it's bringing Houston back to Houston, if that makes sense. We're really trying to bring back to Houston. A lot of, you know, I'm personally from Houston and I've never worked in Houston or had the opportunity to. So for me, it's bringing Houston back to Houston. It's really bringing my training, my expertise from outside back to Houston to do something that hasn't really been done here.
I mean, Lance, I know, you know, as a professional athlete, obviously you have a pretty strict diet and you're known for eating really clean. How do you sort of balance, like, I want to serve food I would eat myself with, like, we're going to have some indulgent stuff here for everybody else.
Maybe we'll have a secret Lance menu, but no, in all seriousness, like, I kind of went back from the beginning. I mean, it's just about doing things in the best possible way. Like, we're going the extra mile on the coffee. We're going the extra mile on our syrups. We could buy syrups from the store, save a bunch of money, but instead, you know, we're making them by hand in house. You know, the cocktails, we're bringing in people, and we'll announce this as we get closer, but we're bringing in industry leaders and experts that really understand how to, you know, put cocktails together and really build a list for people who want to, you know, truly enjoy, you know, spirits. And so I think the food is the same thing. Nico knows where to buy, understands, you know, what around the world is the best. And I think just, it doesn't matter. It kind of goes back to, we're not trying to become something wild and elaborate, but everything that we do, you know, will be done just in the best possible way. And so I obviously will feel, you know, confident eating there, whether it's fresh caught fish or whether it's everything's made, you know, whether the sauces are made from scratch, you know, whether the beef is, you know, from, you know, the best farms, things of that nature is, you know, the goal. And I think that's really the way that I try to eat anyway. So I think it'll fit right in.
You know, I know you mentioned you're working with a whole bunch of people. You know, one of the One of the people you've recently started working with is Nina Quincy, who had been the president of Underbelly Hospitality. So how did that kind of come together? And what do you see as Nina bringing to the table as you kind of grow Maven?
Well, I can speak from it from my standpoint, and then I think Nico can speak for it from his standpoint. I mean, first and foremost, I think Nina's a rock star. You know, she's just one of those people that you just die to have, you know, working with you side by side every day. She's extremely well-versed in the hospitality space. She's been in this city for a long time. Her work ethic is unbelievable. And so for me as owner, I guess you would say, her stepping in as president basically allows us to function in a manner that is the right manner. You know, there's no more Juan and I, you know, shooting from the hip. You know, we get to match Nico's expertise and ability and, you know, the operations and in the food and the drinks that we're going to serve with how we're running, you know, our day-to-day hospitality company. So we had the opportunity, I would call it the opportunity, to hire Nina, and we ran with it because we understand how valuable, you know, she is, and we understand that, you know, the rock star she is. So I think when she first came on, we had our meeting, and I think she thought maybe Juan and you can ask her to clear up the air, but I think she was trying to gauge how, I don't want to use the word controlling, but maybe controlling Juan and I were going to be throughout the process. And we really said, you know, we are lucky to have someone of your caliber and quality to be our president and to kind of pair with Nico. And this is really something that we're excited to, you know, see kind of how you help us push forward. And that's kind of how her coming on, and she's obviously been a part of great hospitality companies in the city. She's opened amazing spots. Her record speaks for itself. She has a great knowledge of hospitality in a wide range of, you know, different jobs. So like I said, we're lucky to have her.
For me, it was Eric, and, you know, I think I'm just going to speak freely here. For me, it was very much, you know, chefs or cooks, we look at the world very differently. And for me to have someone with her caliber to be side by side with me and kind of be the yin to my yang, right? I always see things very one-sided or very, very much in a direct way. And I'm not always able to see the other side. She always gives me that approach. And for, you know, when Lance and JC talked to me about it, I think before they had even started talking, I was like, I'm in, like, I'm ready. We need this. It is the right direction for the company. She's someone who always puts the employee first. Is someone who really, really strives for creating a culture and an ambiance in the space with the staff, with the guest, that all of us can't always provide because we're not that type of person, or we're not always there, right? Because we're on other things at the same time. But, you know, for us, it was an amazing win, and we're really excited. And personally, I'm super excited to continue to work with her every day and continue to change the world in the hospitality scene. You know, that's our goal, is to really do something long and impactful for a long time. I mean, we're really in this for the long haul, and we really want to see this through and continue to enjoy, you know, enjoy our spots and for people to enjoy them and create, you know, amazing memories for everyone that walks in.
You know, the one other thing is, I think what you guys are doing with the coffee and cocktails, both at the restaurant and at the Thompson, is so interesting. You know, we've only kind of seen the beginning of the Thompson, right? Because there's two more restaurants coming to that building pretty soon. And I've been personally a little bit surprised that there's not like a dedicated kind of cocktail bar. It just seems like the one thing that space, it would make sense, right? As a complement to what's going on across the street at Tocamadera, for example. And I know they've got that Mediterranean restaurant that's coming soon. So, I mean, are you aware of anything in terms of like a cocktail component that maybe you guys could be involved with that's coming to that property?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumors about certain things, and, you know, I think we all know some things that may be happening, but, you know, I think it's a little too early to say exactly what's going to happen.
I'll say that bringing on Nina, there's a reason. I mean, we obviously, people maybe listening would be like, why are these guys who are just running a coffee shop need a president to the level of Nina? Why would they need someone like Nico? But I think that what started off as a nice little idea to have a coffee shop, I think has kind of turned into a full-blown kind of hospitality company, and we have a lot of opportunities. And so Rex is our hospitality group. And I think that over the coming months and maybe next year or so, a lot will be announced. We can't say for sure, certain right now, but things will be announced over time that I think people will understand why it's important to have people like Nina, why it's important to have people like Nico, and others that we'll bring on board around.
Lance, let me just kind of shift gears just briefly. I mean, you know, the Astros fan in me, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about that aspect of your career. I mean, you're one of a very small group of players that was on the teams that won the World Series in 2017 and 22. And, you know, as a fan, like, I'll be forever indebted to all you guys. You know, I've been a frustrated Astros fan since 1986, right? When they couldn't quite get it done against the Mets. But, you know, how is your rehab going? And, you know, do you think we'll see you back on the mound in the 2025 season?
So for me, you know, I had surgery last June. Unfortunately, in 2021, I obviously had a very great year and I pitched in the playoffs. I came back on short rest and pitched in game, I believe it was game 4 against the White Sox. And I had a pretty nasty elbow injury. I had a full flexor tear of my flexor tendon, which is essential for throwing. It came almost completely off the bone. It was a very weird time. Because we had the lockout. So as soon as the season was over, we had the lockout. And so I was unable to speak with the team, speak with the training staff. There was a lot up in the air. There was a lot of question marks around, you know, should I have surgery? Should I rehab? And so when we finally got to spring training, which was almost 6 months after my injury, maybe more, we decided, you know what, we're going to rehab this thing. And so I did rehab in 2022. I missed the majority of the season because really my rehab started in spring, because that's a big misconception too, that people, it's just unfortunate part of the business. We were locked out, no communication. So I came back in August. You know, obviously I threw the ball extremely well, even in the postseason minus the World Series game. I obviously did not pitch well in the World Series, but you know, not everyone always plays well or performs well. We won the World Series, very proud of that team, especially coming off of all the cheating scandal, you know, kind of cloud, I would say. A lot of guys had nothing to do with it and had to deal with that in 2021, 2022. And so I'm very proud of that team for what they accomplished. And then ultimately my elbow was not structurally sound and I got re-injured in spring training of 2023. And so ultimately had surgery last summer. And as my second elbow surgery, the timeline was already going to be tight for 2024. I know other guys on our team or around the league, whether it's, you know, DeGrom or whether it's Walker Buehler. I mean, there's so many guys that you have surgery late in summers, it's very hard to come back the following year. And so I was trending pretty well, but ultimately we decided as an organization that it's better to focus on 2025. So my goal is to come out of the gates hot and, you know, have a great 2 years left in my career here with the Astros. And then I don't know how much more I have in the tank after that. I have two young daughters. And being with them is very important to me. My dad made that sacrifice for me in my life when he retired. So I'm not sure what I have left in the tank after 25 and 26, but I do expect to pitch those seasons and expect to be healthy.
I mean, I think that's great news. And obviously, I mean, you're opening these businesses. You're making a long-term commitment to Houston.
Houston's my home. I mean, I have not been shy about that. When I debuted here, I was 21 years old. No one barely ever makes it even to arbitration with the same team. They barely make it to free agency with the same team, let alone 10 years. And so as soon as I debuted here, my wife was finishing her master's degree. And we said, you know what? We're both from the same hometown. We were both young. We said, you know what? We should move to Houston and we should just put roots down and just, you know, make it our own. And that's what we've done. My daughters are born here. So we'll be here long term, even if I do come back and pitch elsewhere after this contract, or even if I don't and I just retire after this contract, Houston will be somewhere that we always call home.
Juan Carlos, I mean, we haven't heard from you as much this interview, but just, I mean, any final thoughts from you about kind of your your role in this or your aspirations for Maven for the next, say, 6 months to a year?
Eric, not many. I'll say one thing. I enjoy building businesses, and I enjoy hiring people significantly more intelligent, more diligent, and just more successful than myself, and putting them in the correct spots within companies to give companies the best shot possible at succeeding. The hospitality industry is an insanely difficult industry, so putting the best team forward has been something imperative from day one. And we have put in very high-level people, some that you know of, some that haven't been announced yet, and some that will be continuing to add to the team here in the next couple of months to really give Rex and its concepts the best chance of succeeding. And I think with the right team that we're putting together, plus the people coming on board next, we're going to do something really amazing. Houston's already an amazing food scene, has amazing restaurants. I was born and raised here, and I love all of the spots that I go to. And I think that if we can just complement and continue to add to an already amazing food scene, we can do something unique, which I'm excited about.
You know, Nico, when I saw you at the Thompson, it was before the Michelin announcement. So we were sort of speaking about it as a rumor. Now that it's here, do you have aspirations? I mean, do you want a bib for Maven, a star for Maven? I mean, what are your goals?
For me, at the end of the day, is, you know, it's the guide coming to Houston is a great opportunity for all of us to start to showcase who we are in another realm. I think it'll add another level of complexity to, you know, people's operations. And I truly just hope that, you know, we continue to serve the best plate possible every time. And, you know, this is just the beginning, and, you know, only time will tell.
I'll fill in the lines for Nico's very PR answer. Someone who's undergone PR training. I think that the Michelin guide is the, you know, that's the top, right? That's what you strive for. I mean, it's a recognition of hard work. It's a recognition of excellence. So I think as long as we don't lose ourselves and lose our consumer and customer forward mentality in the process, I think that we absolutely should go for one, whether it's at Maven or a different concept. Nico obviously has the skills and the pedigree. So I think for us, it would be more about maintaining our quality over anything, you know, kind of mantra and our consumer and customer first mindset. And if we can be recognized in that excellent category because of that, then why would you not want to go for it? So I think the answer is yes. I think that it's not going to be what we go to sleep about and, you know, pray for, but I think that is something that we will absolutely strive for.
Well, gentlemen, I have to say that does bring me to the end of my questions. Is there anything you want to discuss that I haven't asked you about?
I don't have much. I mean, I just thank you again for your time.
I think that went pretty well.
Then Lance, I'll give you the final word. Plug the website and the social media for Maven Coffee and Rex Hospitality.
So we are a Maven Coffee Company online. We actually have a really great wholesale part of our brand. We didn't get to talk about much on this podcast, but we have an amazing patented cold brew product that allows making iced coffees or any type of coffee-based drinks or even food way easier than using espresso. And it's a much higher quality product. So that's MavenCoffeeCompany.com MavenCoffeeCompany.com. And we are Maven Houston on social. And we have a couple of, we have Rex Hospitality website coming here very soon. I believe we have an Instagram called Rex Hospitality, and our coffee company is at drink.maven, I believe. So if you just go on Instagram bar, you just type in Maven, Maven Coffee, all of our stuff will pop up. Type in Rex. I think we're pretty easy to find. We try to get out there as good as we can, but stay tuned just in general. You know, there's a lot of hard work being done behind the scenes by a lot of people to try to truly bring great concepts to a city that has a bunch.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric, thank you for your time.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.